was on target, and after seeing that video, I believe that it is. So never give up. Never give up. What a lot. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, as we consider what the Bible says to us so often, and that is never give up. Winston Churchill was considered to be the greatest statesman of the 20th century. Of course, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, who led his nation successfully through times when the Nazis, it appeared, had them beat. No way that they were going to get through it. But often he would come on the BBC and he would talk directly to Hitler. And at the same time, he would encourage his people of Great Britain with the words that have now become famous words, never, never, never give up. I thought it was interesting that as I was going through some of the great quotes of Winston Churchill, that I ran across this one that I'd never heard before, but that spoke to me, and I believe helps us to understand a spiritual application into our own lives. He says that success is not final, that failure is not fatal. Courage to continue is what counts. Courage to continue is what counts. Now, if we're honest here this morning, all of us have gone through those times that we felt like we were on top of our game, and then there were other times we wondered if we were really even in the game. We've all gone through the ebb and flow of successes and failures. And it's those times that we see success fade and we're staring failure in the face that we fight off feelings of discouragement, fight off disappointments, and even disillusionments that would cause all of us to want to give up in life. And then the word of the Lord comes along to us and says to us that courage to continue is yours. And courage to continue in life is what really counts. You know, there are those things in life that we should never give up on. There are people that God puts in our life first and foremost that we should never give up on. Dreams and aspirations that are good for us that we should not give up on. And especially we should never give up on God's purpose for us. Paul talked about a time that was coming, and he described this age until the coming of the Lord, the day that he lived, and he said that there will come a time in the last days that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And above all things, never give up on your faith. Never give up on God. I want to tell you why, because God never gives up on you. 1 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I suppose that if there is a man that I can look to other than the Lord Jesus Christ that can help us not to give up, it would be this man, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul knew the ebbs and flows and the ups and downs of ministry. He knew the successes, as we could use that word, in achievement in ministry. He knew times that it felt like that he had failed. There were times that Paul would go into a city and preach the gospel like Ephesus, and it was like the whole city turned out. And there would be a great awakening, a great revival, and so many would receive the message of grace, the message of the gospel. And then there were other times, like at Athens, when it seems like he was almost laughed out of town. Paul knew those times when success didn't always last in those terms. And he would face failure, oftentimes in ministry, it seemed, from a human standpoint. There were times that the churches that he ministered to, that he founded in the Lord, there were times when they just received him with open arms as their leader. They followed the Lord and followed Paul's apostleship as he led them and discipled them in the ways of the Lord. And then there were other churches that at times would reject Paul's ministry, reject his leadership. Would Paul quit? Would Paul give up on those people? Would Paul give up on those times? And the question to us today, as we consider the fact that he wouldn't give up, the question that we ask to ourselves is, do we give up? When we feel rejection, when we don't feel like that things are going the way that we had planned that they should go, even things of the Lord and things in the Lord, are we ready to throw up our hands and throw in the towel and walk away? And I want to talk to us about that as Paul gives to us a case scenario in his own life. Because one of those churches that he had been close to, that God had used him greatly to found in the faith, was the church at Corinth. And yet when you come to the second letter of Corinthians, Paul is dealing with issues personally about rejection. Now, I'm not going to be preaching about rejection. However, I want to just say that all of these things that come to our lives, they disappoint us with people. We pour into people and they reject us. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a spouse. And there are times that we get disillusioned in life because things are not going that way that we ought think that they ought to go. And it's here in Corinth when he writes this second letter that Paul begins to give to them some personal experiences. You won't find Paul writing about this in any other place like he does in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, chapter 11, and chapter 4 that we're going to look at this morning. He talks to them about how that he was beaten for preaching the gospel, how and what all that he went through, even personally, in hunger and thirst, all of the dangers that he went to, all of the pressures that he faced from the churches that God had called him to oversee and be the apostle over, especially to the Gentile world. And all of these things that he went through in his ministry, he is talking about that in this second letter to the Corinthians. But not only is he talking about that, he is encouraging them. And that's the wonderful thing. That's how you know that somebody is in it for the long haul, that they've got the courage to continue in their ministry regardless of what they're facing, or in their marriage, or in their life. They've got that courage to stand up and persevere. And I know that Paul had to at least feel what we feel sometimes when we feel like giving up, because in the first verse of 2 Corinthians 4 and 1, you'll notice it's translated this way. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 1, in the New Living Translation, he says, "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way," and the asterisk there in the New Living Translation is because some translate that ministry. Since God in his mercy has given us this new way, this ministry, we never give up. And then when he comes to the close of that chapter, as we put it in verse and chapter division, almost to the end of the chapter, he makes this statement, that is why we never give up. And what he talks about and shares with them between verse 1 and verse 16 is why he never gave up. And I want to just give to you this morning a few things that he said that will help us to persevere. Hupomeno in the Greek. And it means to stand up and continue. When you and I bear a load of pressure all around us, when we go through difficulties and stressful situations that can cause stress in our lives, we continue, we persevere, we move forward in what the Lord has given to us. And the first thing that I want to share with you is we just lift up about, I don't know, about three or four things here in this chapter that helps us when we feel like giving up, and when Paul felt like giving up, is that God's power within you is greater than the problem with you. You say, well, I didn't know the problem was with me. Well, just hang on and you'll understand what I mean by that. But the power of God within you is greater than the problem with you. And you say, well, what's the problem with you? The problem with you and me is that we're frail. The problem with us is that we can't do it on our own. The problem with us is that sometimes we feel like giving up because we are looking to ourselves in what we can accomplish. As a matter of fact, we accomplished that before. What's going wrong now? And sometimes we're like Elijah after we've prayed and fire has fallen from heaven and rain has ended a 3.5-year drought. And we get one discouraging word from a Jezebel and we feel like running. We feel like escaping. We feel like giving up because of the difficulties that we go through. And we don't trust in our source, who is God. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4:7. He makes this statement that we quote so often when he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. See, the jars of clay is the problem with us, that we're just dust. And God knows that, he says in the psalm, that he remembers our frame. He knows your frame. He knows your makeup and remembers that you're just dust in and of yourself. But you see, it's the treasure within you. It's the grace and the gospel that Jesus gave to you and me, new life in himself, and that we've passed from death into life. These bodies, these outward people that we are, they're just frail. But he says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And that's what God wants us to get a hold of. When you and I feel discouraged and we're going through disappointments, maybe it's a person in our life or a situation or a goal or a dream and it's not coming to fruition as we thought, always remember the power that's within us. And the power that's within us is what God wants to come through in our lives so that others can see the grace of God that can help them as well as help us. And it somehow breaks through the frailty of our lives. So the power within us, and I began to think about what Paul had to say about the power that's within us that helps us in times when we face difficulty and trouble and situations, rejection and whatever we may face. He says in the very next verse, this is what this all-surpassing power that's from God will do in us as we look at it in verse 8. He says in verse 8, can we pull verse 8 up, please? Verse 8, he says in that passage, we'll all just read it. Maybe I didn't give it. We are hard-pressed on every side. Do you see that in your Bible? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. The power that's within him, Paul says, and the power that's in you as a child of God, that all-surpassing power is from God, and it certainly deflects any attention that we ourselves could accomplish. As I look at this passage, I just want to enumerate four things here in this passage that will help us to depend on the power within us and not the problem of trying to depend on ourselves, our own talent, our own abilities, our own ingenuity, even our own intellect, even our own experiences, but to trust in the power of God who is within, who never fails us. He says, first of all, that we are pressured, but those pressures do not cause us to collapse. We are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. See, pressure is that press that comes from without. The Greek word there is that word that's used in Greek for a larger army that would surround a smaller army and just surround them and just press them in until they're crushed. And many times in our life, we deal with pressure. Now, there is a difference between pressure without, the pressures that we all face, that's outside of us, that's around us, that surrounds us, than stress. Because you see, stress is what happens inside of me. When I allow the pressures outside of me to begin to cause tension inside of me. And that word stress in the Greek means to strangle or to choke or to bring tension. And it causes our blood pressure to rise. It causes hypertension. Did you know that at the turn of the last century that the 10 top diseases were infectious diseases? They were caused by infection at the turn of the last century. But at the turn of this century, we call them stress-related illnesses because we know that many of the illnesses we deal with or because we allow the pressures of the world and around us to get inside of us. And they can cause us to want to give up. Did you know one of the great symptoms of stress is to escape? Have you ever felt like running away? Have you ever felt just like running away from your responsibilities? You know, sometimes people do that through drugs and alcohol and other narcotics. And then sometimes they do it literally. They just run from life. They run from their marriage, or they run from their occupation, or they run from their ministry. What's happened? Well, it's because, that's just one of the symptoms of stress, it's because that the pressure outside has got inside of them. And God wants you to know that the power in you is greater than the pressure around you. That we have this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay, as frail as we are, so that this all-surpassing power can be shown in us and through us that it is from God and not from us. The difference between you and that person that you may work with or live with that's not a Christian, the difference between you and them is not that you face or they face troubles that you never face. The difference is the power of God that's within you that makes you and me more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen? And that stress comes to cause tension, and it comes to choke, and it comes to cause us to want to give up. You know, I read recently on two different reports, and I suppose that perhaps it's true, that the top five stress-related conditions is because of our finances, our work-related issues, our relationships, and the health concerns that we have, and the health concerns we have of others that we love. Those five things, and when you begin to think about how interrelated that is in our lives, it helps us to get to that place in our lives that we know that we can't afford to allow the pressures outside of us to begin to have their way in us. And Paul says that there is a power that will not allow you to be crushed. It may seem the pressures come from all sides, but he said the power within you is greater than the pressure without you. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Would you say that with me? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And the second thing in this scripture, verse 8, is that perplexities can't make us hopeless. He says that we are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexity are those times in our life that we have questions, but no answers. Oftentimes, when we go through a time of suffering in our lives, we have questions. And the questions that we have, it seems like there's no answer for why. It's the why question. And God's people throughout the annals of history have asked those why questions when they suffered. David asked it in Psalm chapter 10, verse 1. Lord, why do you stand afar off? Lord, why do you hide yourself in trouble? David at that moment was being very open and honest because he was feeling like that God was a million miles away. But God had not abandoned David. And he would come back and sing praise and give God glory for the fact that God again revealed himself and his nearness to him. It's kind of like Gideon when the angel appeared to him and told Gideon that God was with him. And Gideon asked in Judges 6:13, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Those why questions, those perplexities in life. And I want to tell you something, that it's not wrong to ask why. Jesus himself asked why on that cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's a couple of things I want to say about suffering. And suffering is, first of all, is the result of the sin of our first parents. You know, sin is not from God. I'm sorry, of course that. But suffering is not from God. Suffering comes as the result of what we did. And God told our first parents that in Genesis 3, that suffering is the result of the sin that they had committed. And it's also a personal thing in our lives, not just the sin that was passed down to us genetically through our first parents, and we're all sinners, but our own personal sins. Many times, our suffering is because we know that. We know that there's things we do that cause our suffering, our pain. But I also want to quickly say that your suffering is not always because of your personal sin, because Jesus suffered more than anybody. As a matter of fact, Jesus suffered for us all. And the great news is that because he suffered in every way that you and I are afflicted and tempted, yet without sin, you and I have great assurance of victory today in our lives. I looked up in my concordance, there's about 50 times in the scriptures that talks about Jesus suffering. And we know that one of our tenets of the faith, one of our foundational principles of the faith, is that Jesus was sinless. He was the perfect sacrifice, the only human who never sinned. And I just want to encourage you today that yes, sometimes there is suffering because of our sin, but there's times we shake our head and we say, God, why? Why is this happening to me? I want to just tell you, don't get stuck there in the why. Don't get stuck there analyzing over and again. It's okay to ask it. It's okay to do a search. Lord, why am I going through this? Is there something I could have done better or different? But God wants us to not stay there. Instead of analyzing why, he wants us to act. He wants us to take action and say, what? What can I do with this? What can I do about this in my life? And just three questions when you're going through a time in your life, you feel like you're suffering and you're asking why, or you've asked why. Here's three questions that you and I need to ask that will help us get through it and take action. The first question is, how can I grow from this? Lord, you know, sometimes we say, well, I know that the Lord is going to use this trial to really bring a great testimony, and he will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose, and we understand that. But the second thing is, how am I going to use this? How am I going to use this trial and this difficulty in my life to draw me closer to Jesus, to show his grace and his love to others? And the second question of what can I do with this suffering? What can I do with this trial is, how can I help other people through it? And that's the thing that Paul accomplishes in this second letter of Corinthians. He's not blasting them because that there had been some people that came in that congregation that was telling them that Paul is not who he claims to be, and you don't need to follow his leadership anymore. He was not blasting. Through that whole book, he was encouraging them. And as a matter of fact, if you read the first few verses of the first chapter of this book, he says that when you and I suffer and we go through trial, the comfort that you and I have received from Jesus, he said, with that same comfort, we're to comfort one another. And that's the second question. When you and I are going through suffering, not just to stay focused on why, but how can I grow through this and be closer to the Lord and represent him? How can I help others get through the trials and difficulties of their life? And then the third question, am I really trusting God? Am I really looking to the Lord above and beyond everything that I'm going through? Am I making sure that my faith and my focus is on him in every way? How can I grow from this? How in the world can I get to that place in my life that I can help others in this? And then how can I trust God through this. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So focus on what you know to do. Focus on the God who loves you and the God that's faithful, and say, I know God loves me, and I know God is faithful to me, and I know that God has told me that he gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that Paul mentions here, he says that there is persecution that's going to come, but persecution can't cause abandonment. And you know, there's people in our lives that come along and they will say things sometimes to hurt us. It's not just the circumstance or the goal that we didn't reach or the circumstance that turned adverse. Sometimes there are people that come into our life. And Paul is talking about here that not only am I pressured but not crushed and perplexed but not abandoned, that God will never leave me nor forsake me. But there's times that I'm persecuted. And in those times of persecution, it can seem that I'm alone, but you're never alone. God is with you, and he hasn't abandoned you. And I read and saw the other night on the news, on one of the news reports, that this past year, 2016, that 90,000 Christians gave their life for their faith last year. I don't know about you, but I don't have any problems. I don't have any struggles. When I think about how blessed we are here, how blessed that we can come and just enjoy the worship as we've enjoyed it today, and to lift our hands and to pray and to call on God, how wonderful it is. But 90,000 gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't count the imprisonments and the other ways that persecution came. But God never leaves us in those times. You know, John, he had that great experience with the Lord. But we have to remember that in Revelation 1, he said it was because of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he preached, the testimony of his relationship with the Lord and the Word of God, that he was exiled to Patmos, a wind-barren, swept island, exiled there. Just a rocky piece of real estate out in the Mediterranean Ocean. It was there, but it was there that John said in the next verse in Revelation 1 and 10, not only was he exiled there for the Word of God and persecuted because of his testimony, he said, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Has anybody been in the Spirit today? Have you sensed his presence? Have you sensed the Holy Spirit touching you and encouraging you and building you up in your faith? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And it was in that situation and in that time that he got to that place that he could cry out to God and see the great revelation of Jesus Christ as he never had seen him before, and saw what God was going to do in as he unfolds history in this world for every one of us. And here's the bottom line. In Jesus Christ, we all win. Can you shout hallelujah? That's what the book of Revelation is about. We win. Persecuted but not abandoned. I think about Pastor Chen. Pastor Chen, who was from a prominent family in China, but found Jesus, started a house church. The Chinese authorities found out about his house church and arrested him, put him in prison for 18 years. And because he came from a prominent family, they especially wanted to break Pastor Chen down. So they would threaten him, and they would persecute him, even in prison, if that wasn't enough, short of his life. On one occasion, Pastor Chen said, I was praying, and I asked God, God, they're constantly have me under surveillance. And he said, if you somehow could just give me a place that I can pray, really pray and call out to you and sing. Lord, if you'll just give me a place that I can read your word or quote your word in his situation. And a few days later, the authorities came in. And they said, we've got a new assignment for you. They took him to the prison cesspool. And 60,000 prisoners that were incarcerated were using that one huge cesspool. And his job, Pastor Chin's job, was to, I know this is not very pleasant for us, but his job was to shovel out the human excrement so that it could be used for fertilizer. And he, as he was going through that, and he was there all by himself and feeling sorry for himself, he said, "Lord, you know, why? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me?" He said, the Lord reminded him, "Well, you know, you prayed and you asked me to give you a place that you could pray and sing so that nobody would bother you and you could quote scripture." And he said, "I put you in that place. Nobody wanted to be at that cesspool, couldn't stand the stench." And he said, "At that moment, I began to really pray and get in touch with God, and God's glory filled my soul. And I would quote scriptures out loud and how I would be strong and blessed by it, and then I would sing." And he said, a very favorite song of mine was the song that we grew up, many of us, singing or hearing in the garden. And he would sing, "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear that is drawing me near. His voice discloses His love and His relationship with me." And he said it was at that place with God that I wasn't abandoned. God turned my cesspool into a garden. And what God will do in our lives is, as we come to Him, He is saying to us, "Don't give up. You've got a test right now, but it's just making a great testimony for my glory and what I can do in your life." So for you this morning that may feel like giving up because you feel persecuted, there's people in your life that's giving you a hard time, just keep on keeping on for the Lord. And the last thing he says here is pain can't break us. We are knocked down, but we're not knocked out. It's not going to happen. The power within you will sustain you. The power within you is greater than the pain that comes to tempt us. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He says in verse 37 that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In verse 38, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. In verse 35, he enumerates all of those things like tribulation and peril and sword and famine and nakedness and hunger. He says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul is saying to us today, there's a power within you. There's a power within you that can withstand all the pressure around you. Very hurriedly, the last two things I want to share with you this morning in closing is found in verse 13. And what Paul says to us is, when you feel like giving up, just speak out your faith. It's one thing to acknowledge faith. It's one thing to believe in God. But it's another thing for us to speak that faith out. And that's the next principle. If you would put it up on the screen, I want everyone to see. Proclaim your faith in God. Now look at verse 13, would you? Look at verse 13. But we continue, we don't give up. We continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, he's quoting from Psalm 116, "I believed in God, so I spoke." You know, if you want to stop unbelief in its tracks, you just start proclaiming the promises of God. You start proclaiming His Word over your life and over your situation and over your family. And instead of throwing in the towel, instead of wanting to give up and quit, God will cause you to rise up and you'll stand in that faith that you have in the Lord. And all of a sudden, what you believe about God and what you believe that He has said in your life will be literally brought to fruition. Instead of complaining about what we're going through, instead of giving up, start praising God and start focusing on the fact that God is for us. That giant that faced David on that occasion, that giant Goliath. The scripture says that when David ran toward him, he said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God, the Lord of the host of the armies of Israel." And what he began to do was begin to quote who his God was and begin to speak and proclaim that in his life. And so when you feel like giving up, begin to speak out your faith. And then the third thing that I want to leave with you today, the third and the final principle is that we find in verses 16 through 18, and look at this principle here, this third principle, keep a spiritual perspective. So easy to see the problem, but God wants you to see beyond that problem. God wants you to see beyond the mountain, that He's the God of the mountain. God wants you to speak to that mountain and say in your heart that mountain is to be cast into the sea because your faith is in God. You know, the natural world that we live in, it's very real. God wants us to know that it's real. But however, there's something more real than what you can see with these eyes. What you can touch with these hands, what you can hear with these ears, these audible ears. What you can feel, what you can taste, what you can smell. Something more real than the five senses. There's a sixth sense. And that is faith. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, all of those heroes of faith, you know how they got through? You know why they didn't give up? You know why they continued on to give to us that cloud of witnesses that we can persevere and we can keep on? It's because that the scripture says, by faith they saw. They saw the one who is invisible. They saw the one that they couldn't see with these eyes, but was more real than the people that they could see with these eyes and the problems and the circumstances and the situations. And I want to encourage you this morning in your life, begin to see that those things that are spiritual are the things that really are in control and where God is working on your behalf. Look at these final verses. In verses 16, 17, and 18, Paul says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day after day, every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. I love that. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Can you say thank God for that? Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and will last forever. Look at verse 18. So we don't look at the trouble we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And that's the final thing I want to say. You know, we've got something that's greater than this life down here. Not only can we look into the invisible world and we can be victorious and we can have a testimony for the glory of God, we don't give up, we continue to persevere, not just coping in life, but more than a conqueror. But when it's all said and done, we need to get an eternal perspective that you and I have not lived our finest hour, that there is going to be a trumpet sound, that God Himself in Christ is going to descend from heaven with a shout. Then those of us who still live and are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him forever in the Lord and in heaven. And He says for us to comfort one another with these words. You know, it doesn't matter if you go by the way of the grave or you go by the way of the rapture. The point is this. There is an eternal perspective for every one of us, and we don't have to get caught in the trap of the moment. We can live for the fullness of the vastness of what God has planned for us throughout eternity. Press on. When you feel like giving up, persevere. Hold on. Continue. Paul says that there is a treasure, that there is a victory, that there is a testimony, that there is a glory that outweighs everything that you and I may be going through down here. In closing, you know, the scripture says that in to those Hebrew Christians that were going through difficult times, verse 36, Paul says to them, you have need of perseverance. And he said, don't throw away your confidence when you're going through difficult times. Don't give up. You just have need of perseverance so that when you have endured and done the will of God, you will receive His promise. Hold on to that courage. Hold on to that confidence. Hold on to God, and you'll receive everything that He promised. What's your goals and your aspiration? What do you feel those good things are in your life? What's God's purpose most of all for you in what He wants to accomplish? The message today is, don't let anybody steal your crown, Jesus said in Revelation. Don't let anybody take your joy. Don't let anybody cause you to slow down and not achieve. Stay focused on Him and never give up. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your Word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You would touch us. That not only would we continue and not give up, but that, Father, that we would be stronger and more visible for Your glory and do that greater work that You've called us to do in face of a failure even, in face of struggle. Father, for those of us that we're going through things that we're going through because we did it wrong, we sinned or we missed the mark or we disobeyed, thank You, Lord, that there's forgiveness. And thank You, Lord, that there's cleansing. And the message for all of us today, when we've gone through that time of failure and that kind of failure, Your message is always that though we have fallen, we shall rise. We shall rise in new courage and new strength. I pray, Father, for those that may be going through a time today that they don't have the answers as to why. But, Lord, to realize that it's not hopeless. They're not in despair. The power of God within them is working for them an eternal weight of glory that will outlast everything that we go through here today. And we'll thank You for that and praise You for that. In Jesus' name.